All right. I want to think with me for a moment. Can you imagine growing up with Jesus as your big brother? No matter how good you were, he was always better. Okay? It's no wonder that his brothers and sisters didn't believe in him when he was on the earth, right? Think about it. Would you believe in your brother if he came and said, I'm the Messiah? I don't think so. In fact, they approached him, the Bible says, and told him, hey, Jesus, you need to lay off this whole, you know, I'm the savior of the world stuff. It's going to get you in trouble. They didn't believe him, but one thing changed. They met the risen Jesus. One encounter with the risen Jesus changes everything. Can somebody attest to that this morning? These people who grew up in his shadow, these people who were skeptics, became radical followers of Jesus. If you want proof that God raised Jesus from the dead, read the book of James and the book of Jude. These were his brothers. These were the doubters. These were the skeptics who were radically changed because they saw that God raised him from the dead. But even still, growing up as a little brother, a little sister in the house with Jesus must have been a tough gig. And here at the end of Exodus, Joshua had a tough gig. He was replacing the greatest leader in the history of Israel. Joshua was in a tough place. Think about it. Moses was one of the greatest men to walk on the face of the earth. Moses had been a prince in the household of the king of Egypt, yet he gave it all up to defend a group of slaves. He led a rebellion against the most powerful nation on earth without an army, and he won. He was trapped with the Egyptians behind him, the Red Sea in front of him, and as he stretched out his staff, God parted the waters. Moses asked God for bread, and God made it appear every morning on the ground. They ran out of water, and Moses struck the rock, and water flowed out. Moses talked to God face to face so much so that when Moses would come out of a worship service, they had to cover his face because the glory of God was so strong upon him that people couldn't even look upon his face. Moses spoke the word and an earthquake would destroy his enemies. And if that wasn't enough, the guy wrote the first five books of the Bible. I mean, come on, it stinks to be Joshua, am I right? Moses was so loved that his funeral lasted 30 days. Bible says about Moses in Deuteronomy 30:12, no one has ever shown the mighty power or performed the awesome deeds that Moses did in the sight of all of Israel. These are some statistics that are pretty hard to break. In fact, Moses' record would remain intact until Jesus came. Israel was devastated by his death. Their great and fearless leader was gone, and here they were on the cusp of the promised land. They were about to face some of the most powerful armies they would ever encounter, and they would have to fight those battles without Moses. You see, up until this point, if they were losing the battle, Moses would hold up his arm, and they would hold up his arms, and as long as they held up his arms, the battle would be theirs. But now there were no arms to hold up. They didn't even know where the man was buried. You see, God himself buried Moses. The Israelites felt helpless without him. Have you ever felt that way about somebody? Maybe somebody you loved or admired or somebody you relied on and depended on, and now you're facing some challenges in life because they're not there to help you. Sometimes it's not even a person. Sometimes it's a job or a career or a talent or an ability that's come to an end, but you still have life ahead of you. The death of Moses was a hard blow for Joshua and the Israelites, and it's sometimes during our moments of faithfulness to God that we can be hit the hardest. I think about Paul and Barnabas in Acts chapter 14. They faced some tough times in ministry. Okay, they were in the city of Lystra preaching the gospel, and as Paul was preaching, he noticed a man in need of healing. This man had a handicap. He couldn't walk, and in fact, he had never walked a day in his life. And Paul began to preach on the healing power of Jesus. I can just hear Paul singing, there is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. And the more Paul preached, the more the man listened, and the more the man listened, the more that his faith began to grow. And when Paul saw that the man had faith to be healed, he looked him in the eye and shouted, "Stand up on your feet." And do you know what the man did? He didn't explain all the reasons why he couldn't do it. He just stood up on his feet and walked. You see, faith is so simple that some people are too smart to understand it. Faith is just taking God at his word. This man had faith and he was healed. And the crowd was so excited that they even tried to worship Paul and Barnabas. They were throwing a party, but then the religious folks came in and they messed everything up. They turned the crowd against him, and the people started stoning them. That was the death penalty of that time. They threw heavy rocks at Paul and Barnabas, and they dragged Paul outside of the city, and they left him for dead. Can you imagine how Paul must have felt that day? Here he was. He hadn't done anything wrong. He was just trying to tell people about Jesus. All he wanted to do was be faithful to God. And here he was in the midst of it all, beaten, broken, and hurting. Bleeding, cuts, and bruises all over his body. And I'm sure that at times Paul wondered if his life was over. Most people would have given up and died. Let me ask you something. If you had been stoned, beaten, and left for dead, and you were able to eventually get back up and walk, where would you go? I'll tell you where I wouldn't go. I wouldn't go back to the people who left me for dead. But Paul got up, and the Bible says he went back to the city. Now, that's faith right there. That's faith to stand up and say, "God, they beat me, they tried to kill me, they tried to destroy me, but Lord, is there anything else that you want me to do before I leave this place?" My God. I don't know what you're going through right now. Maybe you're Paul. Maybe you've been hurt. Maybe you've suffered at the hands of people. Maybe you're like Joshua. Maybe you've lost somebody or something important in your life and you feel helpless. Well, let me tell you something this morning. God's plan for you is greater than the pain. God's promise for your life is greater than the problems you're facing right now. And God's future for you is greater than any failure from your past. We see in Joshua chapter 1, God says four things to him. And I pray that God would let you speak these four things to you today. The first thing that God says to him is, "The past is gone." Joshua 1 verse 1, "After the death of Moses, a servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, 'Moses, my servant, is dead.'" What a blunt statement. The first time God had ever spoken to Joshua, and this is what he says. "Moses is dead. The past is the past. It's gone. Let it go." Don't make me sing that stupid song to you this morning. The past is over. Let it go. Yes, Moses was great, but Moses is dead, and he's not coming back. You see, church, there comes a point where you have to accept that the past is gone. You have to let go of yesterday in order to move forward to your tomorrow. God tells Joshua, "The past is gone." Let's keep reading in verse 2. "Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving you." The second thing God tells Joshua is, get a new strategy. The problem with Moses is that Moses was so stinking successful. Don't let your future be defeated by the victories of yesterday. Isaiah 43:18, God says, "Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." Our God is a God of new seasons and new strategies. His character and his nature never change, but our God is a progressive God. Our God is a God who likes to do new things. If you're expecting God to move just like he did yesterday, you might completely miss what he's doing today. Even Moses was guilty of this, y'all. That's the whole reason he didn't make it to the promised land. The first time at Horeb near Mount Sinai, God said, strike the rock. So Moses struck the rock and water came from the rock. But the second time, God said at Kadesh, speak to the rock. And Moses did what he did before. He struck the rock. Instead of following God, Moses did it the old way. Oh, man. Ooh, that's tough this morning. This is where people have a hard time. We don't like new strategies. We get comfortable with the old way, and that's how we like it. Oh, help us, Lord. We're feeling this right now on so many levels. Listen, sometimes God operates in a new way for a new season. Think about it. Joshua was facing a very fast transition. Moses had just died, and God says, arise and cross the Jordan. Why so soon? They had just defeated literally every army between Egypt and the Jordan River. Couldn't they just stay where they were and celebrate and rest a while? But God said, move. When you experience victory, the temptation will always be to sit back and relax instead of moving forward. That's how yesterday's victory can turn into tomorrow's enemy. Oh, say that again, preacher. Thank you. I think I will. Yesterday's victory can turn into tomorrow's enemy. Jesus never called anybody to stand still and stay where they were. Jesus always said, hey, follow me. Jesus said, anyone who plows and looks back isn't fit for the kingdom of God. God has greater things in store for you, but we won't get there on yesterday's strategy. God is giving us a new strategy for a new season. Number one, let go of the past. Number two, get a new strategy. Number three, verse three, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, just as I said to Moses. The third thing God gives Joshua was a promise. God said, I'll give you every place you set your foot. God wanted Joshua to realize that his promise was greater than the man Moses. If you're relying on another person to get you to your destiny, you're putting your faith in the wrong thing. Because people come and go. People will disappoint you. But God said in Isaiah 49:23, whoever trusts in me will never be disappointed. Circumstances may have changed, but God's plan to prosper his people have never changed. But I want you to see this today. God didn't promise Joshua, I'm going to just give you all the land. No, I want you to see this. God said, I'll give you all the land where you set your feet. That means there's work to do. So let go of the false belief that God is going to change your life without you paying a price. Every promise comes with a price. There is no victory without a fight. There is no testimony without a test. There's no crown without a cross. And there's no resurrection without a crucifixion. There will always be something that you have to go through to get to the promise. Before Joseph got to the palace, he had to go through the pit and the prison. Before the three Hebrew children were promoted, they had to go through the fiery furnace. So God told Joshua, I'll give you every place you step, but now it's time that you start stepping. Number one, let go of the past. Number two, get a new strategy. Number three, start stepping out on God's promise. And number four, the fourth thing God gave Joshua was his presence. Joshua didn't feel worthy to replace Moses. Who would? The man was a miracle worker. Joshua knew that at the first sign of trouble, people were going to say, you know, if Moses was here, if Moses was with us, we wouldn't be in this mess. But look at what God says to reassure him in verse 5. He says, Joshua, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. God was saying to him, Moses was never the salvation of Israel. I was, I am now, and I always will be, and I'm the one who's going with you. You see, in times like this, we want an explanation. God, we want to understand why. Why are we going through what we're going through? Why are we facing what we're facing in this nation? Why am I facing what I'm facing in this community with my family, with my job? Why am I going through what I'm going through? We want an explanation, but God says you need an experience. You don't need to understand this as much as you need to experience my presence in the middle of this. Because this Christian life is not about the absence of problems. It's about the presence of God. My wife is coming to lead us in prayer today. Let the Holy Spirit continue to speak to you this morning.
What are you doing today that's being carried over? Is it guilt, unforgiveness, bad decisions in the past? What is it that's keeping you from moving forward? Think about that for just a second. What's holding you back from fulfilling what God has called you to do in your life? Lord, we just thank you for today. Lord, I just thank you, Father, for the opportunity that we've had to come before you, Father. Lord, I thank you, Father, that today you give us freedom of our past. Lord, that our past is no longer a chain that is binding us down, but that today chains are being broken and lifted off of people from the past. Lord, whatever it is that's holding them back, Father, I thank you that today that you are the chain breaker and that chains are being released this morning. Lord, I thank you, Father, for giving us a new strategy, Father, to do what you've called us to do, Lord. God, I thank you, Father, for the promise that you have given us to do that. But Lord, I thank you for your presence this morning. Lord, I thank you, Father, for the presence of God. Lord, I ask right now that you come and you feel wherever we are at, Lord, whether it's in our car, our living room, or our bed, Father. Lord, that you fill us with your presence this morning. Lord, I thank you for peace, Lord, and restoration, Father. Lord, I thank you for a greater anointing to fall on your people this morning, Father. Lord, take us into your presence like we've never felt before, Father. Lord, I just thank you for an outpouring this morning. Lord, we just worship you and praise you, Father. Lord, we just exalt your name this morning, Father. Lord, we thank you that you are the true and living God, Lord, and we just exalt you, Lord. Lord, I just thank you for deliverance this morning. I thank you, Father, Lord, for doing a mighty work in your people. You know what it is that they need. And Lord, I thank you that this morning, Father, that every need is met, that healing is taking place in people's lives, Lord. Whether it's emotional, physical, mental, Lord, that you are the healer. And Lord, I proclaim healing over your people and protection, Lord. Lord, clear people's minds, Father, from fear. Lord, I thank you that we drive out fear in the name of Jesus. And Lord, that peace, love, and joy come into our minds, Father. Lord, let us stand on your promise. And Lord, we just thank you, Father, for that promise, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, this morning, I encourage every person that has never asked Jesus to come into their heart, that today be your day. Don't let another day go past that you don't walk in what God has called you to, which is a good, peaceful life. And this morning, if you found yourself you've walked away from God, today's your day. Don't be in that backslidden state anymore, but come to God with open arms because he is a good, good father. And if you find yourself in that place, I ask that you do follow this simple prayer. You know, we try to put Jesus in a box and say that it's so complicated, but God's not complicated. He's a loving Father. And no matter what you've done before you came into this service, it doesn't matter, because He is a good, good Father. And that's how much He loves you. And so this morning, all you have to do is believe in your heart and repeat this prayer after me. Dear Jesus, I am a sinner in need of a Savior. I believe in You. Save me and set me free. Forgive me of my sins. Be the Lord of my life. And with Your help, I will live for You the rest of my life. In Your name I pray. Amen. Let's celebrate, because that is the best decision that you will ever make in your life. The day that I asked Jesus to come into my heart was the best day of my life, because since then He has rocked my world. And that's how good He is. You're never the same once you have an encounter with Him. So thank You, God. Lord, we thank You for every person that's heard us over broadcast and for their salvation, Father. Lord, I thank You, Lord, that we'll never be the same after today. We thank You for Your presence, Jesus.